everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I'm honored and privileged to have with me not only the mayor of the city of Pittsfield, but a friend, someone I've had a great admiration for. He's a civic leader. You know, I hear a lot of people take that term, that title, but he truly is a civic leader. He's ran the 4th of July parade. He's been president of the PCTV and other. I can't even give you his list of credentials. Now he's really taken leave of his senses, and he's become the mayor. Bad enough he was the president of the city council and a city councilor. But we're in a new era, a new vision, a new boss in the city. And I'd like to welcome this morning to this show, Mayor Peter Marchetti. And I would also like to extend my wife and my condolences to the loss of his dad.
Good morning, Bill. And thank
you. Well, how are you?
Doing okay. We've got a lot of work to do. You know, the old saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. Yes. But we're working fast and furiously to begin to start making some changes.
Is the Bob Dylan song, The Times They Are A-Changing? And boy, I think that's a very, very fair statement, Peter.
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, we talked about during the campaign, and we've put this into place over the last 5 months. It begins with communication. It begins with being accessible, and you know, everyone's term for communication and accessible are different. I don't see me doing much different today as the mayor as I did as council president. I attended as many community events as I could. We know that we need to make some tough decisions on issues that face the city. And we also know, especially when we discuss trash, there are 17,400 households, and there is nobody on this planet that's going to come up with a solution to fit 17,400 houses. And so I expect, or by the time the show airs, we will have already had the conversation at the committee, the whole level, regarding a whole mess of proposals that we put forward. In the next couple of days, we'll have a budget that will come forward with for final adoption. We took the city council's message seriously and worked hard to ensure that we kept the increases to a minimal. Now I think we need to focus on where can we find savings, and trash is one of those places as we navigate the process. And, you know, I'll play Monday morning quarterback on myself. When we started pushing forth the toter system and going public and having public meetings, I think it would have made sense for me to wait until we had both the collection contract and the disposal contract in our hands, and we could be talking about both of them. So we have been talking about the collection contract, where we can save $80,000 a year.
Wow.
And now we can talk the disposal contract, where there's about another $500,000 worth of savings if we stick to a 48-gallon toter system. Okay. And I think that, you know, we have to make some decisions. And I know that we have, as the administration, been pretty public. I made two of the three of the town hall meetings that we had scheduled, one at the senior center, one at Conti, and then, unfortunately, the week of my dad's passing, we had one at Herberg, and I couldn't attend. But I've got some of the feedback from the commissioner and Catherine, who were there in my place to have the meeting. And I felt that we had been pushing these meetings. I could watch the rerun on PCTV and didn't need to be there. And so it was important to continue with the meeting we had on people's calendars. I'm sure folks would have understood if we rescheduled, but I think it was important to continue moving in the direction, and we'll still have the conversations. I think that if I'm talking to a senior citizen, they would be in favor of a 35-gallon toter. If I'm talking to a larger family, they want 64-gallon toter. We came in at 64. hoping to find a compromise. And when we were at the senior center, there was a decent level of support from the seniors that showed up at the meeting. Sure, we're concerned about where will we put it, how hard it will it be to get it to the road. But it's change, and so we react to change. Let's look at all the other communities. And I think lastly, we know that that's the direction the industry's going. So when are you going to convert? And are you going to convert on your terms, or are you going to convert on the terms of the contractor when you're at the day that they say this is what you need to do? And they're already pushing that direction. So why not make the change where we can save the money?
I know you personally, along with other counselors, people who've been on the council for a while, and you even had a subcom not a subcommittee, but a advisory group back 4 or 5 years ago. And I guess what I'm trying to say is the due diligence has been done. The decision has been made. Now, whether it's your decision, my decision, a decision has been made for the good of the whole. That's everybody in the city. And you're right. As you know, I've lived pretty much all over the world, and Pittsfield is very parochial. It doesn't do change well. But I will say this, and I'm behind you and the team that's put this together, 100%. We have to do something now. You may
Well,
not
I think
like it, I may not like it, but we have to do something now.
so. I think we, from this year's budget process, we looked where we can minimize increases. We have begun looking to where we can find savings. Over the next year, I think overtime will be a big piece of where I spend some time investigating and really looking to see if we have the best system in place and the most efficient system in place. We also know, and there's, some work to be done still, but it's reducing costs, it's stabilizing costs, but it's also finding ways how we can increase our tax base. So we have been spending time, really working hard to make sure that when we reach October of 2024 and we are completed with the refurbishment of Site 9, that we have tenants that will move in there and that we have jobs that will be created.
Perfect.
I wish I could tell you all of the conversations that we're currently having with all the powers that we're having them with. And unfortunately, those kind of conversations stay confidential until the ink is dry on the agreement and then you bring them forward. But we are working on two different options for Site 9, and we are currently really pursuing two
Cool.
other companies to move or relocate to Pittsfield, where we're talking a couple hundred jobs.
Wow.
And so we're spending our time on those because, again, how do you cut costs when costs continue to rise? And I think the answer there is, how do we increase our tax base? How do we find additional revenues to be able to do what we need to be doing? And we're in the process, still early stages, of finding a way to make Hibbard School a housing complex.
Oh,
So
cool.
it will go from being a city-owned building to a privately owned building that pays taxes. Voila,
Yeah.
you can find ways of increasing our tax base. We are in the process of doing a downtown housing study, and we know that there's 10 to 12 locations that could be renovated to housing. And so what do we need to do to provide those? Because as we are out there trying to recruit business and bring people to Pittsfield, we know that we have a housing crisis. And so if you bring in jobs and you bring in people, where are they going to stay?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things in the air at one time that we need to be focused on, and I look forward to coming forward with those in the near future.
Well, and again, I just want to say this so I don't get anybody in trouble, but the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the two people riding in the southbound lane. They're heading north on their bicycles, and not to mention the three people riding on a sidewalk. But I think let's just step back for 1 minute. You've only been mayor since January. This is June 2nd. We're recording this on June 2nd, I think, right? Isn't it June 2nd? June 3rd. Sorry. I lost this weekend. And Peter, you could tell me anything because I'm not going to remember it. And if you don't believe me, just ask Roseanne because she tells me stuff all the time and I forget. But you've made, in my opinion, you've made great headway in listening, absorbing, and decision making. I just think that needs to be said, and I'll say it. I can, people disagree with me, you know how to get a hold of me, but Rome wasn't built in a day. My father said that once. He said it 7,000 times and he didn't even go to Rome. But I think you prioritize things and you've got input. You're not the sole decision maker.
Well, so I mean, I think there's a couple things. One, I'm no stranger to government, so knowing the process, knowing the people, knowing the day-to-day challenges that you face with trying to make change, you know, that was probably fairly helpful for me. Maybe the hardest part was you were in office for 6 weeks and, oh, by the way, you need to start a budget so that you can present that in about 8 weeks to the city council. And so you don't have a ton of time to be really making drastic changes with the budget or the budget process. But I think we can open the dialogue. We have to ask the questions, you know, what are our priorities? And I think our priorities are different based on our age, based on the neighborhood that we are currently living in. So, you know, where do we want to be? And, you know, I try to attend as many public events as I can. And I was at the senior center last week. And, you know, the first question is, when are you going to redo E Street? And, you know, I said, well, that will be something that is 2025. It's a state-driven project and we'll work on those. And, well, geez, can't you do something now? Well, you know, we've been out since February doing potholes, whatever we could. I mean, let's just change the dynamic. We know every year that pothole season will show up at some point in time, either late winter or early spring. We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared to street sweep. We need to be prepared to line paint. We need to be prepared. These yearly things, you know, they should be on a schedule and they should automatically happen. I think as we go forward, if we continue to have winters like the winters that we're having now, I think potholes are going to become a bigger issue where we, you know, have a lot more rain and then we freeze and then it thaws and then it freezes and it thaws. We know that we have to do those. And I think we also have to take a look at the way that we do our potholes. Are we doing our potholes the most efficient way? You know, we're out there and we're doing some really quick action of filling a pothole, but are we filling it so that it lasts, or are we just filling it because it's a short-term fix? And when we're talking mid-February, maybe the only thing we can do is a quick fix because you really can't fix it properly then. But when we get to mid-April through June, there's a better way of doing potholes and we need to kind of gravitate to that method.
I also think that, you know, I had this conversation with someone not long ago about potholes, pretty much echoing what you just said. It comes with the turf. It comes with the weather. We can't fix the turf or the weather. And I understand, I guess what really, here's some feedback, and it's, if we're going to put in new gas lines or water pipes or what, let's do it before we fix the street.
Yep.
And you know, I know a couple of people have come to me and said they just did my street, now they cut it back up again. And I think that leads to frustration with people. So, and I know you're working on all of these projects and you're working with a team, but I also have to say this, don't be so quick to criticize, and this is to the listening group. You know, if you ever fill the pothole, unless you have, don't criticize, because I never have. And really, but I really think, as far as city workers, the bread and butter people, they're out plowing. They did a great job this winter. That's my opinion. I live on a street that gets plowed, but I also go up side streets. And I just think your approach to problem solving, and you're right, you've got a lot of experience in government, and that's a definite asset. But your approach to problem solving, I find refreshing. It's not done in that little office with three people. And yet, you know, your vision about North Street, I think it's pretty similar to our good, both of our friends, the former mayor, Jimmy Roberto. He saw business and restaurants down on the street level and living on the up level. And that was going pretty good. And then something happened. Maybe COVID, I don't know.
Well, I mean, again, another, bad penny that we talk about on a lot of shows or out in the public in North Street bike lanes. Again, it's the communication. Mass DOT believes heavily in bike lanes. Mass DOT is requiring in all road projects that bike lanes be a part of them, right? And so, showing my age somewhat, but been driving for more than 30 years. Bikes have always been on the roadways. It's probably close to 40 years that I've been driving.
I'm trying to figure it for me. My first vehicle was a buggy.
Well, the first vehicle I drove, I think, was my dad's 1979 Mercury Marquis.
Whoa.
So
Land yacht.
I got to learn to drive a boat before I drove a car. But bike lanes are a part of the future, bad, good, bad, and different. I think that the question is, how do we find reasonable designs for bike lanes? Our North Street reconfiguration that hopefully we can put into place next year. That is not a pilot. I've heard that said a couple times. The design that we're putting forward would be a permanent design.
Oh, cool.
It's meant to encourage folks to come and gather downtown. How do we entice downtown dining? How do we entice events, right? We had our first Friday's event.
Oh, it was great.
Okay. Great turnout, great energy. Can we make improvements? Absolutely. And we'll continue to do that all summer. But for an inaugural event, it went well. Folks loved I think the
Yes.
combination of the arts walk along with, I don't know how many people said, well, I didn't know there was arts in all these shops before. You got to bring people to an event and then give them all the add-ons. Kudos to DPI for kind of somewhat following suit and providing entertainment on Friday evening, Saturday afternoons, and Sunday afternoons in our downtown. Again, why do you come downtown? You come down for events and entertainment. And, I walked first Fridays in May and I just kind of watched and said, wow,
Me too.
what, here's all these people, the collaboration. So you had Otto's collaborating with Hot Plate and so grab a beer and a burger. And it was two different businesses. Otto's quickly sold out of burgers. So that's a good thing. Be prepared next time for a larger crowd. But it's okay. That's a good thing. I talked to Pasquale at the Highland the day after and said, how is business? Was it the usual? Was it worse? Was it better? He acknowledged that there was a better, more people. Okay, well, we just did a downtown event without food trucks. encouraging people to eat in our downtown and where that may be. I walked up to Dorothy's and had a quick conversation with Jess Rufo and said, anybody showing up here? And, she acknowledged there were some tables that had come in that they said that they were down the other end at the First Friday. So it worked, right? People, I was walking North Street, even though we only closed from
Park Square.
Park Square to Depot and no Depot and Ben, people still made their way. People got creative. So Dorothy's had entertainment that was later in the evening. So you were downtown, go enjoy. The Berkshire Arts Center had a DJ outside on the sidewalk, drawing people in, stop there. And they were like, this is the most people we ever had at an arts walk. So again, how do you find multiple things? Because some people don't like arts walks. Some people are not art connoisseurs. But if I'm coming down to a street festival, I'll take part in something else that's there. Some people might just want to be the art connoisseur, but oh wow, look at they've got a band playing. And we had Soul Magnets in May. That was a nine-piece jazzish band that kind of attracted a clientele this week. Well, this coming First Fridays, which will have already happened when we aired, but Happy Together Band. So if you're a 50s, 60s, 70s music buff, you've got something for you, but there's other stuff happening in Sotillion and Person Park.
If I may just say, for the record, part of the bike lane frustration is kind of what I make as a joke, but it is frustrating. The northbound lanes should be northbound. There should be signs and enforcement. And the other piece in signage. Roseanne and I were going to St. Joseph's Church the other day for, and a guy with Vermont plates drove all the way down North Street in the bike lane. And I guess that's all my thing. And I don't know if there's rules of the road or whatever, but if you're in the bike lane, you got to follow the rules of the road. If the light is red and somebody has their right turn l light on, they've stopped. You can't keep riding your bike through the intersection, or you're going to be a hood ornament.
I mean, I think enforcement's a really big thing, and I've met with the downtown merchants twice now. One of the commitments we made was quarterly meetings with them. We have a couple new programs happening with the police, and one of them is that we have a bike patrol that is taking place in the downtown. It is in its infancy. Part of me has said, just don't ride your bike. Stop at a store, ask how things are going. Get the lay of the land of what's happening and let the folks know that you're out there. We do have folks, from an enforcement standpoint, we have folks riding bikes on the sidewalk. Yep. They should be in the bike.
Motorized.
They should be riding in the bike lane and the right stuff. We have a city ordinance that you can't smoke within 25 feet of a public building. Well, that basically means that all of downtown North Street is no smoking. Sure, great ordinance makes sense to a lot of people. Very difficult to
Enforcement.
enforce and patrol with the current size of the police force and the other issues that we have happening on a daily basis. And so, I think some of it is appealing to people to be respectful and do the proper thing. But we know where that will get us.
But sometimes people who will do the proper thing, unless you tell them what is the proper thing,
Correct.
that I mean, I don't want to be controversial, but like the I've been on a signage thing for the bike lane since the bike lanes. But I will say this, and I have to say this, I really do. I want to thank the Pittsfield Police Department, Chief Dolly, and all of the department. William Street has been a raceway since it's been done over, and I understand they are short. And they're trying to watch their overtime, but I will say this, being a former cop, You have to have so many people on the shift, or you're putting everybody's life at risk, not just the cops, the public and everybody. But they've been in an enforcement mode here, and the neighbors cannot be happier.
Well,
It's really wonderful, 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 wonderful.
and I guess here's a perfect time to kind of put this in here. And so, as we continue to advance in the administration, I think one of the key pieces for me, and we talked about it, was the announcement of a permanent police chief, which took place last Wednesday with the appointment of Tom Dawley as our new police chief. And at the press conference, I felt it was important to have DA Shugrue and Sheriff Bowler there
Yes.
as we talk about it. And early on, we had a meeting, the interim chief and myself and the DA and the sheriff, of how do we all work together, right? It's not the mayor's job to police the streets.
Right.
It's the police department's job. But once the police the streets, we need action from the DA to prosecute the cases. And it's not about making everyone a criminal, right? The sheriff does a large amount of rehabilitation
Oh,
type
yeah.
rehab programs. And so, again, as we continue through this process, what is policing? And I've been pretty clear with the Mental Health and Substance Use Disorder Task Force that we're going to take a different approach, and we're going to get some more co-responders, and we're going to try a different way. And I look at, what just recently happened in the city where ShotSpotter was set off, police responded, and there was a situation where we needed police, but we also needed the co-responders to be there.
Right.
And there's a perfect example of when we engage the right techniques, we get good results. And so, how do we begin to make those changes? How do we work on those changes? And I look forward to the relationship that I'll continue to build with Chief Dawley and the DA and the sheriff, as we understand that taking drugs and guns off our streets is a number one priority for all of us.
DA Shugrue, I got a couple of years in the field of criminal justice, couple. DA Shugrue and Chief Dawley and the sheriff have created a team. They're not at loggerheads. They're working for common purposes. And I think we're seeing the results, the citizenry of the city, of that camaraderie, that working together with the PPD. And the DA's prosecuted and got convictions in some big cases. And you're right, this jail, since McIntyre, and he was before you were born, he was the chief, the sheriff, after World War II, saw, wait a minute, a lot of these guys, they're not criminals, they got a drinking problem. So he brought AA into the jail, and the programs just expanded. I've been all over the world. I will say this: the Berkshire County House of Corrections and Jail probably have some of the best rehabilitation detoxification programs I've seen, even in big penitentiaries. So I think we need to stop beating ourselves out. As say it again, the times they are changing, and we've got new players conducting their orchestras. We got to take a break. I'm here with Peter Marchetti. He is the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. He's been in office since January, and he's doing great things. And one of the things I think, as a person who's on the radio and TV, he always was a good communicator. Now he's out practicing that talent every day, everywhere, on TV, at functions. And I just, as a personal thing, would you call Jim Clark and see if he'll let me go into the senior center? I'm not sure I'm old enough, but if I am, he can tell me. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're simulcasting on PCTV And as I've said, I am an American, and I'm very proud of being an American. And this country is not perfect, but I've been in a lot of countries, and I haven't found a perfect one yet. So we're taking our break. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Whoa, like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
The Berkshire Mobile Farmers Market returns this summer. Our mission is to support local farms by bringing their fresh food to communities across Berkshire County. We sell seasonal produce, eggs, meat, cheese, bread, and more. Plus, we offer a sliding scale payment system. We'll be in Adams, North Adams, Beckett, Monterey, and two Pittsfield locations from June through October. Find out more at berkshiremobilefarmersmarket.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hey, we're back. I'm here with the mayor of the city of Pittsfield, Mayor Peter Marchetti. We're talking about trash. I know some people, I've heard from you. I know, I heard. But it may not fit your cup of tea, as my saintly Irish mother would say, but it's good for the whole. I'm going to have to make some arrangements in my garage. My house was built in the 40s, so, but it's good for the whole. Let me just say it one more time for the heck of it. It's good for the whole. The mayor has been mayor since January. This is June 3rd. We are taping this on June 3rd. And I just will say that there's been a lot of ground covered and a lot of proposals happening. And, let's not be so critical all the time. I'm sorry, your turn.
No, so I guess I'm okay with critical if we can turn it to constructive criticism, right? All of us, myself included, want to make Pittsfield a better place. We all have our dreams. We all have our thought process. We're all looking for a better alternative to a lot of the things. Unfortunately, not all of it can be done at once. I look at the aging infrastructure that we have.
You don't have to look at me when you say that.
Our
I may be
buildings,
aging, but my infrastructure is pretty good.
our buildings and our roads and our sidewalks,
Yeah.
all of which need urgent attention. The cost to do all of that all at once, we couldn't afford. And so you need to make decisions. You need to start on some road or some sidewalk or some neighborhood. And unfortunately, when we choose one and it's not your neighborhood,
Yeah.
we're not doing anything. So that's also part of trying to be more communicative of what we're doing, where we're going. The trash, trash conversation. There are so many different options that we can travel down. Folks are saying to me, "Well, can I get a second recyclable toter?" Sure, and we'll provide it for free. We won't charge you to pick it up because we want to incentivize recycling. But if I said, "Hey, everyone in Pittsfield's getting 3 48-gallon toters, one for trash, one for cans and bottles, and one for paper," I know I'm going to hear from you, Bill, that I don't have room for a third toter. I don't want the third toter. So to mandate something that,
Right.
but to say, "Hey, if you have the space or if you feel the need, the
Right.
other option is, hey, you still have those little blue bins. We'll still carry the little bins. Sort on a weekly basis, put them in there, and then dump it into your recyclable toter on the day that you're taking out." And if we look at you and I and what our trash generation is, I think our blue bins work
Perfectly.
perfectly. They can't be picked up by automation, so you got to dump them in a toter, but you can get by on that. I have weeks where I have two blue totes of cans and bottles or two blue totes of paper and cardboard because of,
Yeah. Parties or whatever. Yeah. Or
well,
just the volume of
Chewy is the
mass.
biggest problem, right? Chewy
Yeah.
boxes made life easier. So, big picture, every single one of us are different, and we got to figure it out. And so, how do we negotiate one on one? And you can't, because you can't have a contract that has 17,400 options. But where we can,
Yeah.
right? We led this with, if you have a disability, there are other ways for
Yes.
us to help you. And so here's the form. Let's talk about it. Let's make a difference. Let's figure out how to do this. And if we can't find a way, then we can't find a way. But I'm happy to engage in the conversations. The staff is happy to. So constructive criticism is cool. Let's have conversations. I'm not the enemy. Sure, I may make some decisions that aren't always the best in some people's minds, but that doesn't necessarily then mean it's a bad decision overall.
I have known Peter Marchetti for a very long time, and I know I'm repetitious, but when you get to be my age, you can be repetitious. We have to stop thinking of just me. We have to start thinking of the whole. And the trash is a perfect example of that. I've gotten calls and emails, and what do you think about it? And I just respond with the whole. I know I've got to make some adaptations. Okay, for the whole. And I just really believe more and more that as people understand the dollar and sense of what piece of this, that the savings, and I hope and pray that you got support from the city council for this, because they're the big ones about saving, saving, saving. But is it talk or is it real? I mean,
Well, and by the time this airs, I think we'll have a pretty good idea of where we're at because the meeting is tonight, for the committee of the whole. I think there's going to be some questions. I think there's going to be some
Oh, questions are
requests
fine.
to move the needle. I'm sure there'll be someone there that says, "Why can't we have a 35-gallon toter?" I'm sure there'll be someone there that says, Why not 64? Endgame, that's a decision that you guys get to make, right? If you want to push it to 64 and minimize our savings, then we can push it to 64. I don't want to be dictatorial about where we're going, but I think that I will continue to take the line of 48 seemed to be the best compromise and provide the best savings. And you know, for all the times that I hear this is a punishment to large families, you know, we can easily turn it around and say, well, is the current way that we're doing things a punishment to seniors and small families? Because we're all paying the same taxes to have trash collection. And so is it okay for Pittsfield population to subsidize other areas of the community? Or is there a time to find a way to reduce costs and level a playing field? And so we'll see how the city council reacts. I feel somewhat positive about the process. You know, there's been a number of councilors that I know have reached out with questions to both myself and Commissioner Morales. So I know they're doing their homework. I know that folks are contacting them. At the end of the day, has been with every one of these proposals, it's up to the city council to, you know, make a final decision. You know, I've heard some ideas from councilors that I think improve what we put out there. So why would we not incorporate them as part of the process?
Yeah, I agree. I think they should be involved. I think back, Peter, and you can, because when it first came out, that it was kind of, and I think that shut a lot of people off. What was it? 90 gallon? It was some huge amount, some huge piece of toter. I can't remember the, but it was, we had at the time several elderly, not just old, elderly people who put out a white garbage bag every, you know, kitchen bag every week. And one of them, she was devastated. I won't be able to handle that. But I think what you're trying to do is a better approach to it. The other one I have to ask you about, because I've gotten two or three just over the weekend, is there talk of closing a fire station? If so, which one?
So there is not. During the budget process, when the city council asked for a level service funded budget, browning out a fire station on a weekly rotating basis was one of the items of discussion of ways to save money. And you know, just as similar to police, there needs to be X number of police officers per shift for safety. On the fire contract, there's the same. There needs to be X number. If we are making reductions and we have a fire department that's not fully staffed, and in order to fully staff a shift, we need to do overtime. Well, if we don't have the money to spend, then we couldn't do it. But that is not a reality for fiscal year 25. We put forth a budget that was not level funded and was also not level service funded. You know, on the school side, I think that number was about $1.5 million to additional that we needed to get us to level service. That didn't happen. On the police side, they made $300,000 worth of cuts from level service. On the fire side, it was $200,000 worth of cuts. And on the public work side, there was 200,000 plus worth of cuts from level service. So we didn't make it to a level service funded budget. We made reductions where we could. And at the moment, I don't think that we have any services that we provide today that won't be provided going forward.
Good. Good. Because as you know, you've been on the council a long time. When people talk, that's a nice thing, and a lot of people like to hear that. But I'm an old man, and I'm an old man with some health issues. And it's really nice to know that if I go down right now, in less than 6 minutes, I'll have a fire truck with EMTs taking care of me. And if I'm in a car accident, I'm going to have a police officer, or if I get on the street. So I think, and I say this, this is just me. Before you get on this banner of cut taxes, understand that most of the time, majority of the time, when you cut taxes, you cut services. And you better check with a consistent, your group of people that elected you. Because I can tell you, the people that are approaching me are not happy with some of the suggestions.
Well, so, I mean, I look at it this way, as we, you know, talked about it and you hear, so you always hear there's not as many people in Pittsfield today as it was during the GE days. And that may be true.
Yeah.
There's still the same number of miles of roads. They didn't shrink. There's still the same number of households. Maybe there's less people, but there's still within reason, we didn't knock down thousands of homes. So, you know,
we have a housing shortage.
Right. You know, so fire still has police. Maybe there's not as many people, but society's changed. Yeah. And, you know, when we talk to school system, the days of my generation where you went to school, you came home, mom greeted you, you sat down at your kitchen table, you did your homework. And my family, dinner was at 4:30.
Yeah.
Dad got home at 4:30 and dinner got put on the table, and that's what you did. And when you were done with dinner, you did the dishes, and then you sat back at your kitchen table, finished your homework. And if you finished your homework when it was still light out, you got to go out and play, and you had to be home when the street lights came on. Well, that's
gone.
Generation is gone. And so, you know, we also have to take a step back and figure out a bigger solution, but why has the number of IEPs increased to the levels that they've increased? And what can we do differently to make some progress towards rectifying that? And, you know, those are all questions that I don't believe have answers to at the current moment. And I don't know how, as mayor of the city of Pittsfield, you can implement what family life should be and what a mom or dad should do, especially in today's day and age, when you know that some of them are working two or three jobs to be able to
survive.
And so there's a whole mess of stuff there that we have to kind of
look at. As someone who ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program, I can tell you we had ideal families. Not every family's ideal, not back then, even now. So I did a week long about the Pittsfield school system, and the feedback has been nothing but, and I mean this in very sincerely, nothing but positive. Up even last weekend, you just kind of brought it to light. So just let me say 1 minute on this. Yeah, there are about 1,300 kiddos in special education, and there's other subdivisions. And that they're mandated by law. It's not Pittsfield's choice to do this. These are federal and state laws. I'm writing my third book on managing youthful offenders now. Just interviewing them, living with them, seeing what they went through. Some of them never had a normal life. But going back, Peter, I'll say this and I'll be quiet. All I hear is Pittsfield is an elderly city. Aging city. So guess what? You have to make accommodations for that. And some of those accommodations, you ready? Could cost money.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I mean, maybe some more ramps, maybe some, you know, more handrails. Fixing sidewalks because people fall on them. But in all of these, I think when you look at this guy on TV today, you're not telling him something he doesn't know. He understands infrastructure. We got to catch up. Here's was one, and I think you said this, and I'll paraphrase because I don't want to quote you. But when you got to the schools and the city buildings, we got to stop cutting back on maintenance because the finish that for me.
Well, I mean, if we keep deferring maintenance, things get worse and worse and worse. And when it comes time to fix a $1 million project, it's now $2 or $3 million.
You know, that's right.
Just recently, we came forward, and here's where stuff drives me bananas. Where we all are the chosen experts in all these subjects, and we all hear and we all put stuff out there. Facts matter, right? Yeah. And we just put a $3 million borrowing authorization for the Pittsfield High boilers.
Yeah.
And I've now heard that it's a $6 million project, and I'm not sure where that came from. And so I think it's important to share with folks that the proposal to replace the boilers came in at $2.4 million.
Right.
We borrowed $3 million because with a lot of projects, there are costs that you don't see. Asking the council for a borrowing authorization up to $3 million doesn't mean we spend $3 million, but it means that we have the authorization to borrow if need be. So if we have a $2.4 million project that costs $2.5 at the end of the day, we don't have to go back and say, can we have another $100,000 of borrowing? The authorization is there. If we don't use it, we can rescind that portion of the borrowing.
Right.
And yeah, it's true that this was an ARPA project. And in the ARPA world, when they, a year plus ago, said we're going to use some ARPA funds to do this, they set aside $1 million for the project. When the bids came in and the low bid is 2.4, you've got a problem. So why not borrow from one full project and now reallocate that $1 million to smaller city projects so that we can utilize that $1 million to get more stuff done rather than using that $1 million and then, you know, borrowing the difference. And so I think it's interesting to always be talking about ARPA, but for me, there's a little bit of ARPA funding left that we can manage and work towards putting it to other uses. And my job, since I have taken office, is making sure that we spend every dime of ARPA money that we get. And so whether it's the city of Pittsfield or our funded partners, when we reach the deadline, that money's spent. Because if we don't spend that money, it goes back to the federal government. And that wasn't the purpose of it. So, you know, anyone that talks about whether or not it was appropriated to the right places or allocated to the right places, that ship sailed a long time ago. And it's my job to make sure that we get all the benefits from that money that we have set out to aim for.
And I have tried on this program to explain the government gives you money, but that money doesn't come without a lot of strings and a lot of accounting. And if you don't do it right, it is a nightmare because they will come on you like the hounds from hell. It's not just, we just got, oh, we got $40 million. Nah, we got $40 million, but there's a lot of strings. You can't use it for this. You got to use it for that, you know, but I want to wish you continued success. And I also want to say this, and I know this will catch some flack, but you know, I'm an old man. What are you going to do? Fire me? You don't pay me. So, thanks for all that you've been doing through the years. It's not an easy job being in politics, especially today. And I understand you've done a lot for the city with all kinds of projects. Let's leave it at that. But what's been, you got 2 minutes to tell me, what's been the most challenging part of the mayor's job to date?
Oh, I think there's a couple, but I think the first one is trying to find a schedule that works. Everybody wants to meet with the new mayor, every organization. I am really trying to keep as open doors possible. I know there are some people that had a meeting with the mayor that really thought when they reached out, they wouldn't get a meeting with the mayor, maybe for a whole host of reasons. That's not my style. So if you didn't support me and you want a meeting, you get a meeting. Trying to manage my schedule. You know, there are three or four events at the same day, at the same time that people want you at. It's not possible to make them to all the meetings, and you're forced to make a decision as to, all right, there's three events at 11 o'clock on Friday. Which one's the most important one that you need to go to? And then how do you make sure that the other events aren't left empty-handed, right? So I have both Catherine and Brittany in my office where they can help cover events. But more importantly, as the former council president, if the mayor can't be there, I think it's important to reach out to the council president. So, you know, we've had a tag team and crisscross the city to be able to manage events. So I think trying to get my groove of a schedule, because along with meeting people, we had to create a budget. We had to work on a trash proposal. We needed to talk about water and sewer rates and what can we do to find a formula that makes it something that happens on a yearly basis. We are searching for companies and jobs. So you can't just meet with people all the time because you have all these other pieces.
Well, all I know is that I've noticed that both Brittany and Catherine they're energized. They're wonderful to work with. Please tell them that. Brittany's wonderful. Catherine's always been wonderful with me. And I wish you the very best of luck. And we will continue our monthly meeting here, and you can bring people up to date. If you want to get on, all you have to do is call, and you know you'll be on. And for the folks out there, I am an American. I'm a veteran. I believe in this country, and I believe in this city, and I believe that we are all working for the whole. You're going to hear that till you're ready to scream, the whole. Everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful day. I do want to thank the mayor. Take good care of yourself. Get some downtime, too. That you got to do that. God bless to everybody. And today, try to make somebody's life just a little bit nicer, please. And thanks, Peter. If you, like I said, if you ever need anything, just call.
Thanks,
all right. Bill. See you next time. And again, thank you and the city of Pittsfield and all my listeners for everything that you contribute to the city, because you contribute a lot. You really do. Take care. Thanks, Peter.